You're listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson, the podcast that tells you what it really takes to build a business and the simple steps to get you there. I'm determined to share with you the reality of easy, simple business marketing tips to make passive income so that you can start making money online. Hello, hello, and welcome to today's episode. So today I really want to talk to you about getting visible and how to be like consistently visible to increase profit in your business. Because we hear all the time, we have to be visible. And it doesn't really mean anything when taken just with that. We have to be visible. What does it actually mean to be visible? And what are the different types of visibility that you can have? Because there's hundreds of different ways of people seeing you out there. But first of all, you want the right people to see you with the right message. And you want to do ways that it doesn't feel like a drag. Because we've all done things in business where we're like, oh, it's Tuesday. That means I've got to go and do this thing to become visible, whether it's being in a Facebook group or doing something that we really don't want to do. And if we do that, then we resent our businesses. And in the end, we just stop doing the thing that we're supposed to do. And then people don't see us. And then we're not visible and we're not consistently visible. And then we don't get paid any money because we don't get new clients. So we want to try and find things that are things that we really like to do as well. So my favorite way, like when people told me at first, business, you've got to be visible, everyone's going to see you. You've got to go into like a million groups and just be everywhere at once. And somebody even said to me once, I was listening to a webinar that said, you have to be on every type of social media. Like you have to be on TikTok and then you have to be on Clubhouse and then you have to be on Facebook and Instagram. And there's too many. Like if we do that, we're just going to get really stressed out and we're going to hate our life. And that's not what we are in business to do. So instead, think of a way that you can be the beacon instead. So instead of you having to go out there and seek out all these different clients and seek out all these different groups, you know, there are ways to do that as well. But instead of thinking about it like that, think about it like, can you be the beacon, like the lighthouse? Can you be the person putting out so much good stuff that actually all of your ideal clients come to where you are, come to see you, so that you don't have to go and search them out? And I think that's the best way, like bringing people to you rather than you going out to everywhere. And the way to do that is to use a funnel. And I talk about funnels all the time. And if I'm honest, I sort of hate the word funnel because it does sound so clinical. And it sounds a bit like you're ensnaring people into a system. You're like putting out some bait and you're reeling them in. And in reality, like that is exactly what you're doing. You're putting out some stuff. But actually, if we think about it a bit differently, rather than it being this like really overcomplicated tech system, which is what we've come to believe funnels are, it isn't that. If we think about it as just the experience that our clients have, because that's all it is, like our potential clients and the experience they have finding us and deciding to work with us. And we're giving them an easy way for them to be able to do that. So when I think about it, like, for instance, some of you guys may have been through some of my funnels, you might have been through other people's funnels. If you think of it, it's like you're just giving some value. And in return for that free whatever, they are giving you their email address. And that's how they come into your world, through a nurture sequence of emails or through, you know, a video or however, whatever is the traffic generator, if you like, that you're putting out. Could be a Facebook ad, could be a blog, could be anything. But you're giving them some kind of free value. So for me, I have a few. I have 6 months of Facebook Live prompts that is completely free. I have a couple of quizzes about passive income and lead magnets that I put out there. And I also have a guide to how to launch well in 2021, which gets updated. And so I put those out for free. And in return for them, people give me their email addresses. And because they've given me their email addresses, I then start emailing them. I have an automatic system where my emails go out to them, introducing me and introducing what I do and all of those things and offering them to come into my Facebook group and things like that. That's all a funnel is. But you can see there, I'm not going out and finding people to give that to. What I'm doing is I'm in one place giving value, the free, let's say, the guide to launching. They see that and want it. And so they give me their email address. See, it's more about being the lighthouse rather than being out there all the time trying to find people. And when you have something that you can give people, they are much more likely to want to come into your world. So being consistently visible starts with you giving value, I think. And using a funnel, what should we call funnel from now on? Should we change the name of it? Should we call it like using a client experience system, which I like more? You are more likely to get your ideal client seeing you as well, because whatever you're putting out there, whatever this freebie is that you're going to give them, my first one, I think, was 7 ways to get visible right now in your business. Like, there are some people at the beginning of their business that really need that. And so I knew I was getting the right people, the people at the beginning. Now, when I'm putting out things about your guide to launching, it means that anyone that wants that, anyone that sees that and says, I want that, I already know they're interested in launching, because that's why they've gone for that freebie, which means they know what launching is. They're not very new in business. They're a bit further along. So they're more likely to be my ideal client. So it's a really good way of starting that visibility process. But there are lots of other ways. I'm going to talk to you about some of the other ways you can do this as well. Like, you can be consistently visible. One of the ways, at the beginning, when I didn't want to go into every single Facebook group and give value for 2 hours a day, because I would go down the Facebook rabbit hole and start becoming interested in everything that everyone's written in that Facebook group. And so suddenly 3 hours would be gone, and I haven't actually done anything other than read people's Facebook posts. I decided instead to stop doing that. And to be able to get those audiences to come into my world, I would start speaking in front of other people's audiences. And I'd do this in a few ways. One was podcasts. I decided I was going to pitch to different podcasts every month, because I knew that if somebody has a hardcore audience and they have a podcast, they're going to listen to that podcast. So if somebody interviews me on it, they might then come over and see where I am hanging out and come into my audience that way. And I would often give this freebie that I'd decided on, so, you know, guide to launching, at the end of a podcast. I'd say, hey, I've got this free thing for you, if they allowed me to do it. And so that would get people there that way. I also decided, as well as podcasts, I wanted to do a training in people's memberships, because lots and lots of people were starting to have memberships at that point. And even now, there's so many out there that you could do this with. And so I thought, well, I will pitch an idea of what I could train to these memberships and say I would do it for free. And that way I'd have maybe 100, 200 people watch each time. And then I could offer my free thing at the end, and people could come into my world that way. Well, sometimes the person who was interviewing me or the person whose membership I was training in would say, oh, where can people hang out with you if they want to find out a bit more? And I'd be able to give my Facebook group. So there were ways to get people into your audience from other people's audiences. So to do that, if you're going to go that route, speaking on podcasts, speaking in people's audiences, that kind of thing, you need to start thinking of yourself as an expert in what you do, because nobody wants just any old person doing a training for them. They want the expert in that thing. And this is where I think, when we talk about being consistently visible, I think the biggest issue for people is that they don't think they're an expert. And because of that, they're not visible consistently, because they hide, because they feel like fraud and imposter syndrome comes in and all of that kind of stuff. So you need to start thinking of yourself as an expert. It can be hard, because there's so much noise out there of people fighting for space in the online world. But if you don't think you're an expert, then we won't. No one else will. So it has to start with you believing that you are the right person to teach this. You are the right person to help people with this issue that you are helping them with. So start thinking of yourself as that expert and go and pitch to places. PR can really help as well. Being visible in magazines, in newspapers, on the radio, even on television. People are often very scared of PR, when actually all of these places need to fill, like podcasts need to fill the spots. Magazine articles, magazines need to fill their sheets. Why not you? You know, why not you pitch and say, well, I would love to do an article on XXX. That then immediately shows that you're the expert and you're visible to a much bigger audience. So I would definitely start with all of those things. And also, one thing that you could do is speak in people's, not like in their memberships, like on people's stages. Now the world is opening up again. A good thing to do is speak on stages. And when I first started to think about doing this in year one, I was a bit terrified because I hadn't spoken on any stages before. And so I was like, okay, I don't want to do like massive rooms of 200 people or whatever, like I do now. I want to do something small. And so a really good way to do this, if you're in the UK, there will be other versions of this depending on where you are in the world. But in the UK, there is a website called Eventbrite. And Eventbrite is where people sell tickets for their events. So it could be like just a small networking group in your local area, for instance. So to find out what's going on in your area, if you go onto Eventbrite and you search your area, you'll see all these different like networking groups and memberships and that kind of thing, and smaller events, inspiration days that people are selling tickets for. That means they might hold those monthly or weekly. And so what I would be doing is getting in touch with all of those people and asking if they need a speaker on your topic, especially if it's like lots of them are like women in business or people in business and that kind of thing. So you know that your topic will probably resonate with them. So you could get in touch and say, hey, I'm looking to speak on this. Is this something that your networking group would like? So then you can start off small, because even if there's only 20 people in that room, that's 20 new people in your audience if you, you know, give your freebie at the end. So I would definitely try and do that, like speaking events as well. And then eventually, once you've done all of these things organically, then the next thing to do is think about how you can use Facebook ads well. Now, this isn't something you do at the beginning. I'll tell you why. Facebook ads only really work to enhance what you're doing well organically. So when people start with Facebook ads straight away, they haven't tested what they're doing organically. So it's not going to work. If your funnel isn't working, for example, your freebie isn't very good, or people aren't really bothered about the message you're putting out there on your social media, then that's just going to times by 100 with Facebook ads. It's not going to make it better. It's going to make it worse. So when things are working and you've had like 100 people go through your funnel and people are liking it and they're opening your emails and you can see your email rates are going up and people are resonating with your message on Facebook and replying and that kind of thing on Instagram, then you know that Facebook ads would be a good time, because that will enhance that to more people. Whatever you're normally getting will just enhance it. So that's when I didn't use Facebook ads properly until I'd made 7 figures. And then once I did, when I realized everything was going well, I was like, now let's enhance it. And that's all it does. It enhances my visibility. It shows more people me. And the way I do that is I use an omnipresence campaign. Now, this is because I don't want to be on social media every day at this point. And so by using an omnipresence campaign, which is lots of videos I've already done, lots of posts I've already done, maybe even from a year ago, that are scheduled to show to people who've looked at one of my things so that their timeline is flooded with lots of things from me, as if I'm on there all the time, when in reality, these are automated Facebook ad posts that are going out. So for instance, I do 7 posts first off, and they might see one of those. If they click and watch one of those posts, if it's a video, then they'll get the next 14 pieces of content over 2 weeks on their Facebook feed because they're ads. And then if they look at those as well, they'll get the next 10. So I do a whole batch of this content that I've been using now for 2.5, 3 years, the same things. And that it looks to them like I'm on all the time. So an omnipresence campaign can really work. If you really wanted to scale it, but you don't want to be online all the time, it can help well. You know, most people who see me say, oh my God, you're everywhere in my timeline at the moment. And I'm thinking, I haven't even been on social media for a week. Like, I'm just flooding it with this omnipresence campaign. I'm paying for the visibility rather than me having to be visible each day. So that's definitely something to think about, like further down the line if you're at that point. And the biggest thing, if we're really honest about it, is consistency. Whether we're talking about a Facebook group or an email list or any kind of visibility, Clubhouse, podcasts, anything that makes you visible and makes people see you, the thing that will let you down the most is not being consistent. So doing it for a bit of time and then disappearing. And then coming back and expecting everyone to still be listening to you. The time that I find this the most irritating is on emails. When people write you all of these emails for 2 weeks, because they're launching something. And you're like, this is great. They're so visible. They're everywhere. And then as soon as they're finished launching, you hear nothing from them for like 3 months. And then when they launch again, they're back. That's a bit like when you go to a bar and you want to take somebody home and somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you know, we've just met. I'm going to tell you 10 minutes about myself. And then I'm going to ask you to come to my place for the night. Like, you wouldn't go. But if somebody was writing to you every single week, so if somebody had spoken to you and had a conversation with you every single week for 6 months and then invited you back to their house, you're much more likely to say yes. And it's exactly the same thing. Like, if you write to people in between those launches and you keep that relationship going in between the launches, they are much more likely to buy from you because you've been consistently visible. If you just pop up every time you're having a launch, that's the equivalent to a booty call. No one wants it. Just no. So be careful of how you're doing things, but be consistently visible. Collaborations are another good way where you can be really visible to somebody else's audience. And actually, you can double your audience with a collaboration, but you both need to have something in it for you. So you both need to be sharing the audiences. I've been asked to do collaborations before by people with no audience. And I'm always a bit like, what do I get out of it? I can see what you're going to get out of it. You're going to get my entire audience because you're asking me to email them about this thing we're doing. But what do I get? And so always make sure you're collaborating with somebody who has a similar size audience to you. Or they can bring something to the party that's not an audience, but that is worth it for you because you don't want to be doing all of the work and putting in the audience as well. At the end of the day, even if you haven't done any of these ways of being visible, use your personal Facebook page to be visible. No, we're not allowed to use our personal Facebook pages for business, but we can be visible on them. We can talk about what we're doing at work. We just can't sell. Otherwise, Facebook doesn't like it and they threaten that they will shut us down. But, you know, we can still talk about what we do, who we've helped, where we are. And that's still being visible because most people are more interested in you and your personality than about what you do. They'll know what you do very quickly. It's not that that's going to keep them around. It's everything else around you. It's the statements you make. It's the things you stand for. It's the stuff you like. It's your everything about you that's not your business that makes you interesting. So you can show that, whether it's on Instagram stories or on your Facebook. Make sure that kind of side of your visibility is there too. So it's not all work, work, work. I hope this has helped and given you a few ideas of how you can be more consistently visible. Just know visibility equals sales. The more you are visible, however you decide to do that, the more money you'll make, always, because more people will see you and be able to resonate with you. So stay visible. Don't get scared of being visible. We will talk about in a different podcast episode about how to get over this fear of visibility that a lot of people have, because I had a bit of that at the beginning as well, and found some strategies to work with that. So we'll talk about that later on. But for now, get out there, show who you are and what you can do. And I will speak to you soon. Thank you for listening to Making Money Online with Lisa Johnson. If you'd like to get hold of my guide to launching, go to lisajohnson.com/launch and let's get you making money online.